Welcome back, everybody, to Dress Down. Today, we are all about the business. I'm dressed in my finest pantsuit that I didn't get to wear to a birthday party recently because we are here with the other half of Stella Chew, Jeff, to talk about all of the back end, all of the fun business stuff.
Fun. Yes, yeah.
It's so much fun, right?
It is. Actually, I do really enjoy it, though.
So. I know. And so do I. It's one of my favorite panels to talk about is like the business of cosplay. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be an informative episode.
I hope so.
Educational, fun, exciting. I'm very excited. I have no notes for this. In fact, my note cards just have the word business written on them with Sharpie. So I'm holding them for funsies, but I'm very, very excited. So Jeff, you work on so much stuff in the behind the scenes area of cosplay. How long have you been helping Stella with the business?
We concepted it together when she just was one day. We were dating at the time and she's just like, I want to be a professional cosplayer. And I was, okay,
let's how do we do that?
Mm-hmm. And I sat down with her and we kind of figured out how we'd approach it and started out as just a fun thing. And over the years, meeting people.
Yeah.
And companies and things, it's a lot of networking.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Yes.
There is so much ground to cover that I'm so excited to talk about, which is why I felt confident going in this with no notes, but also this just happened today. So so you've been, how many years have you been working?
So technically it would be about 14 years.
Wow.
I have been directly in the industry, like, outside of having another job, directly in for a little less than 10 years now, but
still an expansive resume.
I've been working in gaming, esports, cosplay. I've managed the back end, the business side for Stella for her entirety of the time. But then I also consult with a lot of marketing companies to help them source influencers for campaigns.
And you're working on your own project now too, Square Robot.
Yes, Square Robot. It's my management company. It's still the same thing. I just don't do it for marketing companies anymore. I do it for myself.
So. And you're like booking talent for companies?
Occasionally. It's a lot of companies come to me and have me suggest talent. I haven't gotten any big contracts yet where I am out there running the entire campaign. I just advise their departments on how to do it.
Which is incredibly important. A lot of people don't understand the nuances of cosplay and how to book these things and what goes into it. And what I love about your approach is that you are so, I don't want to say the word aggressive because that's not totally accurate, but you are.
You can be.
You definitely can be. And aggressive, you know how you can put quotations, not aggressive derogatory, but aggressive in a good way, where you are not going to let anybody take advantage of.
I try and approach everything with a little bit less on the BS side. I want to get right to the point.
You're a businessman.
I very much try and get in there and I understand the needs of the company. And I understand the needs of the creator. So I'm trying to make sure everybody's getting paid. They're getting the best results, understanding how a marketing campaign actually works and helping teach them that they're probably not going to get the results they want, but they are going to get some pretty good awareness if they work with the creator the correct way.
Yeah. So let's start, I guess, by talking about, getting started in the industry, like some solid practices. I know a lot of times when I do the panel on business of cosplay, I talk about how I got started, which was just cold emailing conventions, being like, please take me, give me a table and I'll show up. And then like working my way up to obviously
That's still not a bad approach.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Like in the good year of 2026, how would you suggest like a brand new cosplayer approach guesting at cons?
If you have a fan base at all, I very much encourage the fan base to reach out and ask for you to be there. That is a very big step. you want the convention to know that tickets will sell. Mm-hmm. That's a big piece of it in the end. But talk to other guests if you have friends there to help recommend. But I honestly think cold emails is not a bad way to go. Mm-hmm. If you can figure out how to contact the convention, most of them are just, they're run by fans too. They are reading every email. Mm-hmm. So tell them why you love the convention, what you think you can bring to the table, mm-hmm. And not the metaphorical table of like, are you selling product? Are you selling
an experience?
Are you selling, I think a lot of cosplayers actually bring community to the table.
Absolutely.
So you're maybe not selling as many tickets, but you are bringing brand endorsement.
Yeah. It's about selling yourself mm-hmm. in the end, right? What I used to do was I would cold email any convention that I saw was happening in Florida that was within driving distance of me. I would go to their contact page on their website. I would find either the form or mm-hmm. an email for like booking mm-hmm. or something like that. And I would pitch myself. I would be like, my name is Danielle. I've been doing this for blah, blah, blah mm-hmm. years here. I've attached some pictures of my mm-hmm. cosplay. Make it as easy for them as humanly possible, mm-hmm. right? I can bring mm-hmm. blah, like XYZ to your convention. I can host and mm-hmm. run panels for you. Here's a list of those that I yep. can do. I can judge your contests. I can do this. I can yeah. do that. And then it worked. Like,
it does.
So many, almost everybody responded to me mm-hmm. and were like, yeah, of course. Come on. Yeah. Out.
They're getting essentially free publicity. Mm-hmm. Most conventions will give up a table for that. Mm-hmm. I do think it is important to note that, like, when you're just starting out, understand your worth and yeah. it's okay to ask for money, but the reality is a lot of the smaller fan conventions just can't afford it. Mm-hmm. And understand where your trade-offs are going to be there.
Yeah.
You get into the bigger ones like the anime expos and the New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con. They have focus shift a little bit differently. And if they are inviting you, definitely understand they should be coughing up a little bit of a budget, but
yeah.
It's a nuance. There's no set price.
Yeah. Would you agree that as you grow, the tables start to shift, the scales start to shift, where if you have never done it before, you're just wanting like that volunteer experience basically to mm-hmm. understand what's going on. And then as your social media grows, as you mm-hmm. can bring more to the table, you can start asking for a per diem, for an mm-hmm. appearance fee, et cetera. And as you grow, that can get higher and higher?
It can. You just have to understand understand where your priorities lie. Mm. And sometimes that is financial. Sometimes that is social growth. Sometimes that's just because you enjoy being at the convention. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many conventions a year Stella still does for literally out of her own pocket because yeah. she wants to be there. She's like, hey, I'm going to be there. Maybe supplement like part of my flight. But she'll show up anyway. Mm-hmm. And
the love of the game.
She does. She loves it. And she loves interacting with her fans. And that's her trade-off. She's like, I'm okay not getting paid because I want to be given the opportunity to go interact with my fan base.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And it is I also really enjoy mm-hmm. it. The like electricity of a convention and mm-hmm. the camaraderie of it all. There's like a soul there mm-hmm. that you get to be a part of and it's intoxicating. Yeah. I love doing cons. It is exhausting.
It is very, very exhausting.
But it is really fun.
Yes. And I have a trade show coming up and those ones are even more exhausting.
A trade show?
When you do the trade show ones, that one's like strictly networking. Mm. So you are up at 8 a.m. meeting with people and usually out until 2 or 3 in the morning. And you have to do that for 4 days straight. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then we have a thing. Me and Stella are coming back from PAX. We have to red eye to make sure that we make a commitment the next day as well.
Oh my gosh. You guys are some of the hardest working people I've ever known in my entire life. And I admire it greatly. So another thing that I like to bring up in the panels that mm-hmm. I do is that when I was first starting out, I would pose as my own manager before I had a manager so that there was a wall between me, the client, and the business person that I was talking to. Would you recommend doing that as well?
I don't think there's any harm in it. I mean, I wish I could remember who it was. There was a famous actor who recently got outed as having done that. They were their own manager for years under a false name.
Yeah.
It was Hugh Grant. That's right. I think that's not a bad thing. It it lends to legitimacy. Some people, unfortunately, don't take cosplayers very seriously.
Yeah.
And I think it's largely because they just don't understand the market. But yeah, try it.
Do you think that there is a pro or a con to having that separation to where the talent, quote unquote, doesn't have to be the bad guy?
I think there's a huge part to that.
I think so too.
Creating those barriers is important for all parties, I think. Starting out, you're not necessarily going to have that that know-how, what you're supposed to say, how you're supposed to say it. You'll learn. Ask people with experience and they'll usually advise you. It's not like anybody's trying to hide anything here. Like when the stuff with Stella, half the time she doesn't even know what she's doing until I put it on her calendar because, you know, being married to her, I know what she wants. She does have a team of people that she trusts very much. And she's like, if it shows on my calendar, they collectively agreed that this is where I should be.
Then you trust the people around you to do that for
and
you.
And I think it's all in growth and slow, steady. But honestly, I know a lot of bigger cosplayers too that just, they do it all themselves. If they answer, you're talking to them and there's nothing wrong with that either.
Right. Do you think it's advantageous though, when it comes to say an email shows up in the inbox and it says, hey, I want you to cosplay for my game. Do you think that it's advantageous for there to be the separation for the negotiation process of advocating for a budget?
It can. When you get to the point where you're working with an agency, that's a very big piece. But some of the smaller games, they already have their budgets in mind. They know what they're willing to pay. It's, you can get to that pretty quick. Sometimes it's just outright saying, what is your budget? Usually they're looking for a price sheet. I will say most of the current outreach is from mobile games and they are so down to the penny on what they're going to pay. They're just looking for your rate card. So there is no negotiating.
Gotcha. What is a price sheet for those who don't know?
So how much does it cost for you to do an Instagram post? How much does it cost for you to do a YouTube short or a YouTube video or a TikTok? How much is it going to cost you to make the costume? It's literally line items of how much it costs for each thing you do.
So say somebody wants to put that together. How would they put that together?
Well,
is it just text? Do you copy and paste it? Is it like a graphic?
I will tell you, the emails I do are just, they're written out. If I do provide a price, it's literally just typing the number. So some people have literally Excel spreadsheets. I've seen fancy PDFs and if you are a very visual person, sometimes it's easier on you to be able to deliver that to companies. If they're a big corporation, they just want the text really fast.
Yeah. And so what do you think is the top most important things to keep in mind when you get these emails and how you're responding to them?
First, research who emailed you. Check that email extension. Is it from a Gmail? Is it from an Outlook? Is it from some company you've never heard of? Do some research. See if you can figure out where the company is. 9 times out of 10, if it comes from a Gmail, it's not a company. Conventions, though, that's a little bit different because they have volunteers, so they're probably using their personal email. Do a little digging. I've even gone as far as emailing the convention and saying, does this person work for you?
I've done that as well.
And I think that's the most important thing. Protect yourself. Make sure you're not giving any information to a potential scammer. Mobile games are usually working through a lot of third-party marketing companies that you can find a lot on them really quick. You've just never heard of them. But outside of that, just go right back to the telling them what you're willing to do for them and ask how much you're willing to pay.
Mm-hmm. Do you think speed makes a difference?
Yes. Most companies' marketing budgets get approved almost right before it's due.
Mm-hmm.
So you're lucky if you can get like real time frames to build something.
Right. But what about speed when you're responding to these emails?
Within 24 to 48 hours, if you can.
Mm-hmm.
If you've waited a few days, a good company will check in with you mm-hmm. to make sure that you got the email. But I think speed is very, very important.
Yeah. There was a campaign for a company recently, mm-hmm. actually, that I missed the email. Do you remember this?
Yep.
I missed the email for a couple of days. And when I responded to them, they had already filled all of the
spots. I get an email inquiry on my side and I said, check your inbox if you got contacted
by
them.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I did and I responded, but I think I had responded. I think it was 4 days that I had not seen it. And
Shame.
I know I missed it. They hired a bunch of my friends.
Yep.
I was like, damn it, I could be there with you guys. But that it goes to show that mm-hmm. you need to be on top of things, which is why I forward everything to you now.
Yes.
As far as like the body of the email. So say we're setting up a response email mm-hmm. to one of these companies. What does that look like?
Typically, I range it with like a thanks for the contact. If it doesn't give me everything I need, it's an immediate inquiry into, could you explain a little bit more about what you're looking for mm-hmm. in this activation? And sorry, I'll use a lot of marketing terms in this.
Yeah, but that's fine. I know what you're talking about, but I'm going to try to keep an eye out for, okay, can you explain what an activation is?
Yeah. So, well, an activation is literally the thing they're asking you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So the
business deal, if you will.
Yes. And then
the event.
You want to ask more information about that if you need more information.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's all detailed out, just you can get straight into, thanks for contacting me. That looks really interesting. Let's talk about this more. Here's what, if you have a price already, throw the price in there because that's what they're ultimately trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go the negotiating route, do your best not to say the number first. That is a cardinal rule.
Mm-hmm.
First one to, you lose a lot of edge if you're the first one to say a number.
Really?
Because they just, you know, let's say you're like, oh, I'll do that for $1,000. And they're like, oh, I was willing to pay like $10,000. Yeah, sure. Do it for $1,000.
Yeah. There's always a moment where if you throw a number out and they come back and they're like, sounds great. You're like, God, I should have asked for more.
And don't ever feel bad about that either. Because like, I've been doing this for a long time and I still have lost count about how many times I'll like say a number and I get an approval so fast. And I'm like, oh man, I left money on the table.
Yeah. It happens. It happens to me too. It's
I was like, cute. I should have known better. I know.
Uh-huh. But I feel like you're really good at negotiations.
I mean, doing it long enough, ground. I think I've learned what the budgets actually should be looking like.
Right.
So I'm basing it off of old knowledge. I also have documents that I've meticulously saved that I can do research back to like, oh, okay, this is what the budget was for this project that I worked on.
Mm.
Odds are they're going to be around the same.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. So you want to respond as fast as you can.
Yes.
You want to thank them for the opportunity. You want to ask any questions mm-hmm. you might have after making sure that the email is legit mm-hmm. and sell yourself in a good way.
Yes. And always remember the person you're talking to on the other end is a person.
Mm-hmm. To treat
them. They were tasked
as
to
such.
Contact you.
Mm-hmm.
They probably don't have a whole lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
So just be nice to them.
Be nice to them.
Understanding. It is okay to put a little pressure on and tell them that you need information faster or
mm-hmm.
you can be a little aggressive to them. Just don't be mean.
Right.
Because you may want to work. Even if you get this one through, they are going to have a recap on this and you mm-hmm. don't want anybody saying anything bad about you
mm-hmm.
and not get the next gig because you were a pain to work with.
Right.
And that is all subject to random people's interpretation.
Mm-hmm. Right. When it comes to who you know and the networking side of mm-hmm. it all, you'd be surprised. You are like exactly what you're saying. You want to be nice to everybody that mm-hmm. you possibly can and be as respectful as you possibly can to everybody, because you never know who knows mm-hmm. who and what that will affect in the future.
The industry is small.
The industry is so much smaller than you think. Mm-hmm. And I still get emails from people who I met on jobs like 5 mm-hmm. years ago, like a photographer mm-hmm. that has since moved to social media and now mm-hmm. works for a different company completely, mm-hmm. went from working for like from a convention to like a game company mm-hmm. and now the game company needs.
Yeah.
You never know who is.
Many people that we've associated with over the years, I know yourself, myself, mm-hmm. Stella, and just a bunch of people we've worked with, associate with people when they're just starting out. They're so excited. They just got that entry level position into a company. You're friends with them. I'm now 10 years later into this. They're the decision makers.
Yeah.
And these people do remember
how they were treated.
And if they remember you to be that good person, they're going to be more likely to talk to you.
Right. Right. Exactly.
I guess the real moral of that story is don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick, you guys. It's so easy.
Yeah.
It's so easy. So we're moving up through the industry, right? And mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest questions that I always get asked when I talk about the business side of things is how to set prices for yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you are new to this and you get contacted for an Instagram post from a company, mm-hmm. How would you suggest going about figuring out how much to charge for your social media posts mm-hmm. or something like that?
Thankfully, there's a million sources out there at this point that you can just spend some time searching online, and you can find generally what companies should be expected to pay for certain things.
Mm-hmm. Like a calculator? Like
calculators, or they'll just giving you a table of like, if you're in this range, expect to get paid this much. And mm-hmm. that's for the posting. Cosplay becomes infinitely trickier.
Yeah.
You know, we live in
LA. Really
is. We have the Fashion District.
Yeah.
New York has Fashion District. Mm-hmm. You have access to a significantly more affordable materials. Now you live in the middle of America where, you know, Rip Joann's, like,
I know.
You don't have easy access to fabrics and materials anymore. Mm-hmm. So how do you balance in the fact it's going to cost you probably way more to make a costume than it is somebody else? And then you compare it to somebody like Stella, who's doing it at such a high volume mm-hmm. that she's able to purchase in bulk, and it keeps the cost down so we can work with more people. I think that's why she likes to bring in other people, is so they get opportunities to work on it as well. But mm-hmm. that becomes a difficult pricing point.
Yeah.
Just figure out how much it's going to cost you to buy the materials. Start to take note of how much you're spending building things. And then from there, try and figure out like an hourly.
I was going to say, so there are a lot of social media rate calculators mm-hmm. online that
Tons.
You can Google if you're trying to figure out what to charge for things. That's usually what I recommend. Mm-hmm. That's what I usually use still to this day. But when it comes to building costumes, mm-hmm. it gets really, especially when you have to answer mm-hmm. so quickly, it gets hard to calculate. But that is the way mm-hmm. that I have been doing it now, is it takes a while, but getting a range of material mm-hmm. costs and then adding that to a hourly rate.
Mm-hmm.
And the hourly rate is hard to figure out because
yep.
especially a lot of cosplayers have mm-hmm. are neurodivergent, and yep. we have no concept of time and how long things take. the famous one more day mm-hmm. Curse of mm-hmm. cosplay, where you think something's not going to take that long and it takes 8 hours.
And you get used to good enough or
yeah,
good
yeah.
enough, close enough.
Exactly.
Any of that.
If it works for the day,
will it hold?
Will it hold up for the day? What do you think is a good numbered range though for an hourly rate for a cost to work on a cosplay?
Well, obviously, don't ever go below minimum wage.
Okay,
that should be a good starting point.
And what is
that
in California now?
It's different based on the industry, I think, but I don't know. Put the number here over my face if you Google it later.
17? 20? What's minimum wage, Ryan? Do you know? 16.90.
All right.
17.
So, yeah. So don't go below that if you're in California. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you want yourself to make as much of a livable wage as possible. But probably start with 10, 20% above it. I don't know. These are like, it gets so hard. Like all the numbers out there are totally fake.
They're just arbitrary numbers.
It's really just based off of what you think, like I said earlier, what you're going to get out of this.
Yeah. So you can sort of weigh things down with the concept of exposure. I know that that's not.
Well, sometimes exposure and more viewership on your art or your craft is the end goal. So loss on money isn't the worst. I mean, if that's what your goal was.
Right.
Obviously, I don't want anybody to lose money. I'd like for everybody to make money.
I know exposure is a spicy word for better or for worse, but sometimes it is actually worthwhile.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, if Megan Thee Stallion called you up right now and said, I can't pay you a penny, but I'm going to let you do this for me on stage and your name is going to be all over the place. I would highly advise you be there.
I would do it. I would be like, tomorrow, I bet. Yeah. I'm there. Yeah. I agree. I think, and you tell me your thoughts on this, but I have been using a rate calculator type thing where I put the materials in and then I do either, because I think as you gain skill, and things don't take as long and you're better and better at what you're doing, you can charge more for that ability that you've perfected over the years. So I usually do 25, 50, or 75 an hour, depending on what I'm getting out of. Like you said, if it's something that is for a friend or if it's something that is worthwhile exposure-wise or whatever, it might be, then I might go lower on like the 25 end.
Yeah. And like the reality is, like, if you went to Stella to ask her to make you a costume, she is not going to charge you near what she's going to charge like for a brand opportunity. There's two different things for that. And ultimately she knows you can't afford what she would be charging, but she's going to weigh the options of, I want to still do the project with you. So,
right.
That's weighing the opportunity cost. But you can always just start, if you are getting consistent work, just slowly increase it over time and see how people are receiving it. Always be willing for a company or brand to come back and say, we just literally can't pay that much. That's okay. And be willing to come back down.
How would you word it? Say, as an example, somebody, you're talking to somebody over email and they say, our budget is X. Let's say our budget is $5,000. And you go back and you're like, well, the materials cost this and this cost this, and I would be comfortable with maybe 75.
Don't waste any other time on like explaining the materials or anything.
Okay. This is good. Yeah, yeah. I want to know. I think other people would want to know as well.
Just tell them like, I've looked at your budget. It either works or it doesn't. I'd like to talk about it more. I really want to make this project happen. So I can see how close we can get to your budget. Sometimes it's good to just get on a phone call with them so you can kind of walk through it. Those are opportunities where they might ask more about the material costs and the costs they don't see.
Yeah.
They're aiming for this goal. Please make it within this goal. That's all we are allowed to spend. So
would you,
or you dial it back. You say, if this is your budget, how about we don't do some of these asks or I make the cosplay a little less accurate, or we modify some things because these are what are really driving the cost up.
Right. Would you, I got advised not to, cause I'm too whimsical over email.
Okay.
I use a lot of exclamation marks and I'm very excitable. And
I don't think that's a bad thing.
But. I don't think so either. But here's the part that I got scolded for is, at the end, when we are talking about the actual budget, mm-hmm. and you say something like, and you really want to do the project, and mm-hmm. you say something like, my budget is X, mm-hmm. but it's up for negotiation.
Nope.
Please let me know what you think. Like, how do you professionally say, I know it's bad. How do you professionally say, here is my budget? When they are making you say the first number.
It's something like, hey, I think I can do it for this much. Let me know if you have any questions.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a chance. They might just be like, no, that's too much. And you never hear from them again. It's, mm-hmm. it is a reality.
Mm-hmm. You just do your best with what you have.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is totally not even based on a question, but I was thinking about where cosplayers are going, and it's mm-hmm. it's such a niche industry. You're working with other people's IPs, which is a very big deal. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important as a crafter, more or less, mm-hmm. that you also come up with ideas. And as you meet these companies, if you're at a convention, you get an opportunity to talk to them, mm-hmm. Pitch ideas to them too. Their marketing teams are always looking for things. Mm-hmm. I think that's a missed opportunity. Don't wait for them to have you do their design for their character. Tell them what you bring to the table. And mm-hmm. I go into meetings all the time and I pitch Stella. I'm like, okay, so we could do all of this. And they're like, which IP? I was like, I don't even know. Like
anything.
I just want to do, and you know, cause I can't really give any of these that we're working on, but like, I'll just pitch an idea. And sometimes it amounts to something. Sometimes it's like 2 months later. Sometimes it's a year later.
Mm-hmm. What is an example of something that could be pitched?
How would
the average cosplayer go about doing that?
I've pitched to Riot Games a bunch of times. I've pitched to them like because they love working with cosplayers, how they can work with cosplayers. Mm-hmm. And because I know a few people there, we get to talk to them and they seed those to the powers that be that come up with it. Sometimes a version of it might come back to us. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like the best way to really pitch that. Mm-hmm. Other than if you have a neat idea, a game show, let's say you want to do a game show in cosplay, mm-hmm. and you talk to a brand that has character designs that might suit that, and you're talking to the person who might be doing marketing, mm-hmm. if the opportunity arises that you can talk about your ideas. Mm-hmm. Say like, I would love to work on this.
It's so big.
Attack the mosquito.
Sorry, keep going.
No, I think you could just talk to them and be like, hey, like I have a few ideas that I think would be really cool with your IP. Like, mm-hmm. can we talk about that sometime? And
mm-hmm. and that could be an Instagram DM. That could be an email. Or is that in person?
Typically, I do those in person.
Okay.
Instagram DM, you're probably just talking to the social media manager who's not really got any say in it. If it works, it works. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't do it, but doesn't mean you shouldn't try.
Mm-hmm. So what are some really good networking events that people could go to?
In industry specific shows. Okay. So like in cosplay realm, like San Diego Comic-Con, that's industry. That is not a fan show. Mm-hmm. Anime Expo is not a fan show. While there is fans there, mm-hmm. there is boots on the ground from the companies. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones where you get to typically meet the employees of the companies. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time at those ones. Mm-hmm. That being said, I also go to fan shows. Like,
yeah.
I love going to GalaxyCon because they're just fun to work Woo-hoo. With. Mm-hmm. And while you're there, just remember to talk to the people who brought you out. If you were fortunate enough to be brought out, mm-hmm. show your thanks. Mm-hmm. You get to meet more of the team. And it's a lot of, like I said, at the very beginning of the show, it's all about networking. And networking is not a bad term because I see it as just getting to meet more people. If we get to do cool things together later, that's even more fun.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't have to be a scary negative term. I agree. But also I have an advertising degree, so I learned that term in a good way.
It's the talking to people part. It takes practice.
It certainly does. Yes. You know, in The Sims, when you are talking to yourself in the mirror to raise your charisma, that's how I feel. That's how I feel every time I do a podcast is I'm like slow. I can see the bar slowly getting higher.
I have to like kick it into gear every time. It's always hard. I grew up cripplingly shy.
Really? I would have never known that
I could
about
not talk
you.
To anybody. And when I went off to college, I had to get over it. Mm-hmm. I forced myself into things where I would have to speak, where I would be a little bit more uncomfortable. I would regularly volunteer to give the presentations for group projects. To be able to wing it a little better. I give myself little like challenges. Mm-hmm. I put together an entire presentation to pitch a project at school that I didn't put a single word, no text. It was all images. So I had to remember what I wanted to talk about and use key images to help lead the conversation.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think that you've done a wonderful job. You're an incredible speaker, especially when it comes to like networking with
I just like
companies.
To meet people.
I think that is the heart of it, right? Like you have to have good intentions.
And I am fortunate in my life. I get to hang out with a lot of people and I've met a lot of people that also force me into more scenarios. I mean, you know, one of my best friends, Sean, he throws me into the deep all the time and challenges me on everything I say. Mm-hmm. And he's like, be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who you surround yourself with is incredibly important. Yeah. I feel very fortunate to be so close to Stella, especially after being in the hospital in Thailand. Stella, oh my God.
Do we want context for the pod, for the viewers out there, or the listeners?
Absolutely. So this is the first episode back from Thailand, back from my 2 hospital overnight adventure. Stella was so funny. I have to tell you this and everyone listening. So the second time I went, the first time Stella was with me first. So they did like shifts almost. The first time Stella, Miko, and Kelly all took me to the hospital and I was like half dead in the Grab, which is Uber in Thailand, like against the window in the back seat. And I kept like they were like laughing and joking and I like couldn't participate because I was so sick and I would just lift my head up and be like, are we almost there? And then I would go back. And they put me in a wheelchair. They wheeled me into the ER. And Stella was like, I'll go first. And Stella is such a boss, badass bitch. Like she came in and she's like, what's wrong with her? Like, okay, she wants this. And they were like, are you in pain? Do you want pain medicine? Like they gave me an opioid of some kind. And the first, like right when I got there, cause I was like groaning and in a fetal position. And I was like, no, it's okay. I don't need it. Just Tylenol. And Stella was like, no, you're taking the pain meds. Guys, you can give her the pain meds. And I was like, thank God for Stella, just like running this ship like nobody's business.
She's learned to ask what she wants, ask her what she wants.
An incredible skill that I hope to seed off of her. I would like some of that as well in my life. And I think that I have. I've picked up some of that from her, which I'm very, very grateful for. And the second time I went back to the hospital, this is the actual story that I wanted to tell. I went by myself originally. And I told everyone at the villa, like, nobody has to come. Please, you guys, don't. I actually don't want you to come. Like, I just want to suffer by myself. Like, because for me, when other people are around, I feel kind of like I have to entertain them or like be on in some way. It's like, let me just go rot. And so I convinced everyone that I was fine to go by myself. And then I went. However, I'm too timid. And I laid in like one of those hard hospital beds behind a curtain asking for Tylenol for like 7 hours. I got there at 8:30 in the morning and they didn't give me Tylenol until maybe like 4:30 or something like that, or like 2:30 or something like that. And I was crying, sobbing, and I was, and people kept coming over being like, what's wrong? And I was like, I just want something, like, please, can I just have Tylenol? Mm-hmm. And they were like, okay. And then they would leave and then nobody would ever come back. And it happened over and over and over again. And I kept like getting out of the bed, going and finding someone and mm-hmm. being like, please, Tylenol, please. And they were like, okay, we'll be right there. And nobody would come. Stella got to the hospital, I kid you not, and asked for Tylenol and got it in 10 seconds. Somebody came with it in 10 seconds. She's powerful. She's a powerful woman.
She walks in and will do her best to command a room.
Yeah, it's incredible. She actually pulled Tylenol out of her purse and went, if you aren't giving this to her, I'm giving this to her. And they were like, hold on. And they ran back and they came back in within the minute with it in a little.
Like, we don't know what that pill is. Yeah. Like, let's get her what we know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stella's like, if you're not doing it, I'm doing it. It was incredible. I don't remember where I was going with this.
It's just a fun story.
Oh, that who you surround yourself with is important.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And always, 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 when it comes back to the, like, how do you get started? How do you do all this stuff? So the people you're surrounding yourself with, ask questions. Mm-hmm. Just always ask. Mm-hmm. If you ever see Stella, ask her.
Yeah.
She's an open book.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's say that you are going to be a convention guest for your first time ever.
Congrats.
Congrats. How do we do this? How do we prepare? What are some things to keep in mind? Maybe more towards the business side versus the creative, like setting up the booth side.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've definitely guested more conventions than I have. So sure. From the business side, if there's a contract involved, make sure that's squared away, preferably before you go. You can do them after the fact, but it's nice to have everything, you know, the expectations going in. Mm-hmm. Always, always set up payment timelines.
Smart.
Familiarize yourself with how to set that up, which is literally in the contract part. Mm-hmm. This is how long is it going to take the convention to pay you if you're going to be a guest and they are paying you for it? Who's booking the travel? Where are you staying? Just pretend you want to go to a convention somewhere else that you don't live and all the things you have to do to get there. Yeah. Make sure that's all squared away before you go, because mm-hmm. you don't want to be a guest at your first convention and be late or not there.
Yeah. So important, because all of the convention workers, you know, mm-hmm. same thing that we talked about before, where maybe the cosplay director mm-hmm. or like talent manager for New York Comic Con mm-hmm. switches, gets hired for Fan Expo mm-hmm. or something like that. And now who you were working with before mm-hmm. wants to book you for something else. Like, being responsible, being professional, being mm-hmm. on time, doing your job well, being nice to everybody.
Always know who your person of contact is supposed to be, mm-hmm. Because it's usually one of the volunteers. You'll get their email or their cell phone number to help point you in the right direction, give you your schedule, mm-hmm. tell you what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And don't be afraid to bother them with questions, because that's what they're there for.
Right. Exactly. I think the number one thing that I've heard from convention staff about cosplayers that they've had a bad experience with mm-hmm. is all about them not being at their booth.
If that's part of the agreement, yeah, be at your booth. Some conventions really like it there. I do know, like, for Stella, she'll be at her booth, but she does it for blocks. That's her biggest mm-hmm. thing. She actually likes to go around and make content at the convention,
which typically is
what we've worked out with them beforehand.
Right. And that's important mm-hmm. to work it out beforehand.
Yes. It's understanding the expectations that have been set mm-hmm. and adhering to them.
Yeah. And knowing that these are all options mm-hmm. too. I think it's very easy to fall into the trap of, well, if this is what they are expecting of me, then that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And I think for me as well, it's sometimes you have to remember that you can pitch things. Mm-hmm. You can pitch like, hey, I would like to do mm-hmm. booth hours from 12 to 4. And before and after, I want to just go around the convention mm-hmm. and I want to make content because that is what's going to get more eyes on your show. Mm-hmm. And that is something that maybe nobody considered, but they're going to totally go for. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important because I just got out of the hospital for mm-hmm. X amount of days in Thailand and just traveled. I have GalaxyCon Richmond this mm-hmm. weekend. I leave tomorrow. And I was able to talk to the cosplay director. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, I just want you to know I'm sick, but I am still coming. But is it okay if I don't wear a costume mm-hmm. for the first few days while I finish the antibiotics? Mm-hmm. Because I know I'm not going to be feeling really well. And can I just dress up maybe Saturday, Sunday? Mm-hmm. And they were like, sure, absolutely. Like, yeah. Thank you for being communicative.
Yep.
You know? So that is like, it's always an option. Mm-hmm.
It's always better to ask and inform, mm-hmm. I think. You've gotten your first invite, you're there, you do everything. I think it's just important to remain professional. And if you've done everything that you said you're going to do, mm-hmm. there's a very strong likelihood they or somebody they know will have you back. Mm-hmm. GalaxyCon is an anomaly. You'll see a lot of repeats there, which I think I love.
I love that too.
But I do know some conventions will mix it up every year. It doesn't make sense to have the same guest every single time mm-hmm. because then what's the reason to come back to the convention? Mm-hmm. And I think that's another important thing, especially on the cosplay and convention side of things. Mm-hmm. The conventions do have to make money. Otherwise, the convention doesn't come back.
Yeah, yeah.
So
exactly.
Always remember that when the money numbers come into play.
Sure. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a convention that I did recently within the past few years that I met through doing GalaxyCon because mm-hmm. a lot of the convention owners know each other mm-hmm. and share information and share resources. And I was a guest at their con and, mm-hmm. and it's very important to me that I show up and do...
It's back.
No, the big, oh my God, it's so big. Jeff, that's huge.
It is.
Kill it.
We should kill it.
Kill it.
Oh, I got away.
No!
Damn it.
Ryan's
this one's
like,
blank.
Ryan's like, not with those. I made those myself.
Sorry, I know he's probably hearing me just smack the mic in the background. So.
Well, the first few episodes, I was holding it like this a lot. Oh. And he was like, you have to stop. You have to stop holding the mic.
This is for payback.
I know. What were we talking about? It's very important to me to be on time and be mm-hmm. there when I'm supposed to be there. And after the convention, the owner came up to me and was like, I want to thank you for being so great. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have you at my other show. And that has, mm-hmm. you know, progressed ever since then. Now we do other deals as well mm-hmm. where they have a like a loot crate type thing where mm-hmm. they have like a subscription box and mm-hmm. they've contacted me to do prints for the subscription box.
That's
and
cool.
So it's like things will stem from other things mm-hmm. as long as you are showing up and doing your job and being nice.
It's like a promotion.
Yeah.
Because you showed up, did your job, and did it well.
Exactly. Exactly. I see him.
He's going to live for a while.
He's going to live for a while. I know. Especially because this is the only light. So let's see. What other business things can we discuss?
I don't know. They're probably, I don't know. How are the listeners hearing the same version of like business over and over? It's all, there's really not much to the business aspect. It's all.
Well, you say that, but I think coming from the outside, it seems like a huge, scary subject.
There, at scale, it can get a little crazy because you're just managing more things, but mm-hmm. every core piece of work has the same few things. It has the boundaries set to what the project or appearance or whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. There's the guidelines to what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. There's going to be the doing it. And then there's going to be like billing and tracking. Like mm-hmm. you have to remember to send the invoice. And if you're new to it, and you can just download an invoice template somewhere, because mm-hmm. you will likely have to send an invoice.
Yeah. Let's talk about scams.
They exist.
There's so many scams, and there's so many things to look out for and fall for, especially if you're trying to do everything yourself. And you're juggling so many mm-hmm. things, and it gets so stressful, and you're not giving something your full attention. So what are some like 2026 or like recent scams that you know of that people should be aware of or are like currently attacking our friends?
Well, thankfully this one isn't a scam, but podcast scams are huge.
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 I am not a scam.
No,
but
Danielle,
somebody
not a
might
scam.
Pose as me.
But that is huge.
Podcast scams. I get a lot of them.
Fake accounts, trying to do collaborations with you. Mm-hmm. They'll do through DMs and try and reach out. So like, you know, that's the blue check mark fiasco that no longer helps anymore. But those are two of the bigger scams I see. It's really just because, like I said, there's a lot of third-party marketing companies out there. Mm-hmm. It's just be careful. Don't give any information up front.
Yeah.
If you are going to reply, that's why I say do the research. Do your best to discover if the company is real. Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, the email extension, just Google that for that website. Mm-hmm. Does it exist? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't, it may not be a scam, but like they don't have a forward-facing presence, so it's gonna be a little harder to find things. Mm-hmm. Ask questions carefully. Don't provide any telling information. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you just have to decide when it's okay to pull the trigger. And if you know this is going around, see if anybody else in your circles is getting these reach outs. Mm-hmm. If you're fortunate enough to have access to somebody who's more familiar with the industry, definitely ask them for help, because they can help you understand which companies are real. I know I've told you a few companies that look scammy. I'm like, no, they're real. They're just, they're hitting everybody. So
Yeah, exactly. What is the podcast scam for anyone who's unaware?
You have been invited to Joe Rogan's podcast. And
Joe Rogan.
I'm not saying Joe Rogan's trying to scam you, but It's from a very notable figure that maybe overlaps with your interests, and they've invited you to be on their podcast.
It's very believable, I'll say, for the most part.
What was the first thing we talked about? Check that email extension. Mm-hmm. That one's probably coming from a Gmail. And mm-hmm. is Joe Rogan Experience probably going to email you from a gmail.com? They're usually asking you to set up a meeting time. They are going to give you things to try and get access to your computer. And
yeah, which happened to a close friend of ours, mm-hmm. The podcast scam.
Yep.
And they're
very believable.
They're so believable. It looks so legitimate. It's like, for me, I got contacted by a couple of different pretty notable podcasts, mm-hmm. and all of those I could see reaching out to me. Like they mm-hmm. were all things that I was like, oh, this is...
Mm-hmm. 100%.
This is something that
we get
might
one a week
happen.
Easily.
The one that really threw me though was not Travis Kelce, but his brother's wife. And I don't know her name off the top of my head, but she has a podcast, and that I was like, there's mm-hmm. no way that this is real. And I got an email from somebody claiming to be from her podcast, mm-hmm. and it was like a really legitimate looking email with a legitimate looking signature. It's got like a phone number on mm-hmm. there.
It's got everything.
It's got it looks so
real. It's got
real.
A link to set up a meeting invite.
Um, And they say, like, we're going to compensate you like $1,000 or $2,000 mm-hmm. for your time and for like a pretty large podcast that seems.
There is also the biggest giveaway of a podcast scam. Podcasts don't pay you to be a guest typically.
Typically. Yeah, yeah, exactly. But you click the link, you sign up for a meeting, mm-hmm. you talk to somebody mm-hmm. on Zoom, mm-hmm. like face to face, and they ask for like a certain amount of access to your mm-hmm. pages in order yep. to do promo,
yep.
which also is something that kind of happens mm-hmm. sometimes.
Yeah, there
in the business.
There is that happens. Like a you know, big one on TikTok is Spark Ads. It's if you make
right.
if you make a TikTok for some company, they may ask for what's called a Spark Ads code and mm-hmm. or an ad code, and they'll put money behind it to make, when you're scrolling through and you see advertisement, it's probably somebody's TikTok somewhere and they're just putting it into the ad reels.
Right. But they don't need access to your page. And nope, that's you very, give
them
very
a,
important.
You give them a unique code that expires.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, a friend of ours met with we know two people that got as far as meeting.
Did the meeting invite and then got off put by the things they were asking for.
One of them got off put and the other person that I'm thinking of actually gave them access to the page and now doesn't have access to their Facebook
page. I don't know if I know who that one is. You don't know how to say that here. Oh yeah, I do remember that. I do remember that.
I don't want to out them. But
so if that mic picked up anything,
yeah, beep it. But yeah, they don't have access to their Facebook page now. And another scam that happened recently, it almost got me, was I have a friend whose online name is Ava, mm-hmm. Ava Gigi, and Ava publicly talked about this, mm-hmm. which is why I feel comfortable discussing it. And DM'd me on Twitter, mm-hmm. not unusual, to be like, hey, I work for this company that mm-hmm. she does work for. Mm-hmm. They're looking to sponsor streamers, something that would normally mm-hmm. happen. They're paying X amount. I don't remember what it was, but it was a normal, mm-hmm. it was a normal price. I want to say it was like $1,000 mm-hmm. or something. And, is this something that you're interested in? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so she sent me a link that was like, just sign the NDA so we can discuss mm-hmm. the project. Also very normal. But when I clicked on the link, mm-hmm. it was a like DocuSign mm-hmm. link, but they had manipulated the link to look legitimate, because it looked mm-hmm. like the URL what looked mm-hmm. normal, but the actual homepage, you couldn't click on anything except mm-hmm. for the one thing. And if you do it quick on your phone, you mm-hmm. would miss something like that.
On your phone especially, because you don't see the link at all.
Right, exactly. Like you could just see it was a little fuzzy, like the resolution, mm-hmm. it wasn't like an actual link. It was like an image mm-hmm. in a lot of places, like little icons and stuff. And then when I clicked on the link to sign, mm-hmm. You would have to sign in to the website, the DocuSign quote unquote website, yes. and then they get your password, your email, and your password, yeah. and then they use that to log into your social media.
Yep,
and then they use that to scam other people,
and then they change your password immediately, so you can't get
right.
Yep,
exactly. So I was like, wait a second, this is fishy, but it came from someone I know, so that's really weird. And then I went to her Instagram, mm-hmm. and on her Instagram story, she had put, oh my God, someone hacked my Twitter.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I knew it was fishy. I knew it. And so maybe like a day or two later, she got back into her Twitter and was like, oh my God, girl, please tell me you didn't click on that link. And I was like, I didn't actually, but...
It's a very big reality that we live in the modern era, is scams are a thing. They continue to happen. I I hope there's ways to crack down on it. You just have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
What does careful look like? I don't know. It's changing so quickly.
Right.
And like, that's why I just say research as much as you can. Ask anybody you can who mm-hmm. might have more information. It's, you know, you've reached out to me a few times and I'll look into it and be like,
is this a scam? I've almost gotten scammed a lot. Luckily, I've stopped at the finish line every single time, but it's not always going to work out that way.
And anybody listening, if I know you, just feel free to ask me if you're really worried about something.
Because
I will gladly call around to the people I know and say, hey, is this going around?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for talking to me today. We are going to transition to the Patreon portion. But before we go, would you like to plug anything? And what events do we have or things to look forward to coming up soon?
I'm just going to promote my wife because she's amazing and talented. And she's going to be at PAX East doing an Woo-hoo. Activation for Borderlands with the DLC. So.
Yay. Awesome.
You'll see her in here working on that very soon.
Nice.
Watch all the cool stuff that she's going to be doing, because I like to sit at my desk and dream up cool ideas and try and get all my friends to be involved in them so that they can all make money.
I love that. I love that everybody I know loves to share the information and
why
the wealth.
Hide anything?
I know. I agree.
Everybody should share what they're comfortable with. But the more you share, the more everybody does well.
Right. Exactly. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being my podcast guest today. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, of course. I hope everybody learned something and wasn't too bored.
Hey, don't say that about us. We're not boring.
No, I am.
Don't say that about yourself. So, Jeff, what would you say is like the largest ballpark amount of money that you've seen made from an activation?